What is going on, beautiful people? Nashville, Tennessee, Middle Tennessee, wherever you are hanging out with us for the next 3 hours here on 104.5 The Zone. Man, happy Friday. I am excited. I'm excited for a great many reasons. We got Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio for our weekly deep dive with Titans Radio's head coach. Always enjoy Coach Mac, even when he's hitting on my girlfriend. 615-737-1045 is how you get involved. 615-737-1045 is how you let your voice be heard. And Shafe, I imagine that we are going to hear a lot of people's voices today. I am going to have a morning.
Well, we need to clear something up. Your girlfriend is often hitting on Coach McGinnis.
No, that's true.
That's a two-way street.
It's tough. It's tough. Listen, the two men in my girlfriend's life that she, you know, has more love in her heart for than me are Mac and Mike Vrabel, which I get it. 615.
She's not wrong.
737-1045. No, I mean, what are you going to do? It's like The Sopranos. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Anyway, we are going to have Coach Mac. Ryan McGee of ESPN and the SEC Network will be here as well. We'll talk about this Texas-Oklahoma to the SEC debacle, as it basically sounds like it's a done deal, which is, I mean, I don't know how many people listened to Chris Childers yesterday of SiriusXM on with us in that final hour with Joe Hunk and myself, because Schaefer and Joe Hunk are pulling double duty this week, for which I am greatly appreciative of. But Chris Childers basically told y'all, listen, the sport, what you know about college football, forget it. Everything that you know about this sport, let it go from your minds. This summer happened. NIL is going to completely change the face of this thing. We are just steps, mere minutes, it seems, away from super conferences in college football that are going to completely revamp the way that we look at this thing. And it ultimately may be better for the health of the sport. College football, it sounds like, is completely changing. This Texas and Oklahoma thing is just a big story. I mean, it is the biggest story of the college football all offseason, bar none, outside of what, you know, it sounds like LSU's been covering up since Les Miles, but that's a different subject for a different day.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Tell me about it. I am excited to get into the meat of this conversation, though, and we'll do that with Ryan McGee later on in the show. But what has the internet abuzz? What has everybody hot and bothered? Well, actually, since Joe has started the bidding, and of course, if you want to get involved, 615-737-1045, since Joe has already called in to talk about SEC expansion, we might as well start there this morning before we get into the thing that set the internet on fire yesterday. Joe, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Mr. Buck. Hey, I love your show. Thanks for having me on. I don't have anything substantial to talk about, but the only thing that I like about the expansion possibilities is making fun of all my friends who always claim that the Big 12 is greater than the SEC, which we now know that is not the case. So I'll hang up and let you talk about that. Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe. Mr. Buck, 615-737-1045. Shafe, did that make your skin crawl a little
bit? You only wish you were that important.
At least for the next, you know, hour and change, I might be. We'll see. 3 hours and change, I might be. But, who is making the argument? Who are these friends of yours, Joe, by the way, that are arguing with you?
Well, may I interject, please?
You may.
His friends are clearly idiots.
I mean, who are these people? Like, who are these mouth breathers that are telling you that the Big 12 is superior to the SEC in any way, shape, or form? Now, the only argument that I will hear and that I will accept is the one that is true about Texas, the athletic department of Texas, earning more than any college football or college institution, college athletic department at the D1 level in the country. That is the only argument that I'll hear. But in every other way, shape, or form, there is nothing that the Big 12 does better than the SEC. Not the level of competition, not the athletes, even if most of them come from Texas. They go to the SEC. Why? Because the SEC wins everything. The competition, the athletes, the coaches, and we'll see if Steve Sarkisian is able to breathe any life into that program at all in a way that many people have not. I mean, I can't get over how stupid Texas is for letting Mac Brown go. But again, a conversation for another day. I think that with SEC expansion, we are just moving closer towards what college football, at least in this latest evolution, is going to be. It's going to have more of a big business feel than ever before. And I understand why college football traditionalists, not about that in any way, shape, or form. I understand that the thing that makes college football so special are the traditions of the universities and of the conference rivalries and of all the great games that you've seen through the history of the sport. It does mean something. I don't want to diminish that at all. But there does have to be an expectation, or at least a realization, that we are moving quickly away from that, because the money at the top of this thing is so much that they're just going to turn it even into a more big business feel than ever college football has felt before. The Supreme Court told them that they have to, because anything else is un-American. Remember, unanimous, 9-0, 615-737-1045. I did not think it was going to go this way this morning, but that's fine. Bill is in Nashville. He wants to talk about SEC expansion. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. I sort of hit on what you earlier hit on. We're moving into a big corporate outfit rather than college football. I just wonder how this is going to affect the other teams playing college football. Will it push them down to the cellar? And where is all this money going? Who holds it and who makes these decisions? That would be really nice to know.
No, it's a great question by you, Bill, and one I think that people everywhere are legitimately wondering today. But consider this. I mean, the NCAA, for as useless an institution as it is, and as useless at its function as it is, which is supposed to be as the acting governing body of collegiate athletics, you know who got a pay raise last year? Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA, because the money continues. That's where the money is going. Now, it is being poured into at least on the collegiate level, the athletic departments are using this additional money in basically what is an arms race, where you see that Alabama and Clemson have a barbershop and a waterfall in their locker room. Things like that. Things to attract recruits and things that make the college football facilities, you know, I mean, 10 times better than NFL facilities is probably underestimating just how great, you know, places like LSU and Auburn and Alabama and Clemson, Florida, I mean, places that don't even win, that are trying to keep pace, because this is how you attract recruits with bright, shiny objects and promises of playing time. And now, name, image, and likeness earning opportunities. The money is going to where it's always gone. It's just, I think, Bill, being laid so much more bare for people because it's been legitimized. Because the Supreme Court, a month and a half ago, took a look at this thing and said, yeah, the model for this is completely unjust in any other American workplace. This is, in fact, un-American. 9-0 is still something that I cannot get over. For all of the political divisions in this country, with Supreme Court justices named by a Democratic president and a Republican president after that, to see all of them come together and look at college sports and say, what the hell is this, is one of the greatest vindications of anybody who's been arguing for just how underpaid the labor is. 615-737-1045. We are going to continue this discussion over the course of today, and we'll get into Texas and Oklahoma more specifically, the SEC, the latest in the reporting, and also, man, we got to talk about the NFL's forfeit policy, because that set the internet on fire yesterday. What a time to be alive, Schaaf. I was ready. I was coming in hot this morning to talk about that, and here we are, SEC expansion. We can do it all, and we will do it all with you over the next 2 hours and change. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Oh, it feels so good to be back in studio. Goodness, I did the show from home yesterday, and I'd forgotten how much harder they are to do on Zoom. Not just because, you know, it's the first time I've done a Zoom solo show. And it's not really a solo show because Lucas and Schaefer and Hunk and, you know, basically everybody in the audience that calls in or interacts with the show, that you guys carry me for 3 hours a day. I get that. But it's a hell of a lot harder to do over a computer screen. So I'm very happy. As, you know, how should I say this? I'm just excited to see Schaefer in a way that I'm not normally excited to see Schaefer.
You know, I understand that because I even said to you before the show started that I'm actually happy to see your ugly face today.
Oh, absence makes the heart grow fonder, buddy.
It's a feeling that I just felt very uncomfortable with, and I wanted to get rid of that as soon as possible.
Well, and then we made it through the first segment, and here we are.
Yep, here we go.
615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. We welcome your participation as always. So we will get back to the topic of discussion regarding Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, because there was some advancing of the reporting on that yesterday that I think is important. Mostly that they had a conference Zoom call, the Big 12 did, and there were two notable absences. So we'll get into that later in the show.
Whoops.
JV says, we can see your face now, Buck. Yes, lucky for you. Zone TV, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitter is where you can get in on all the action.
So you told me before the show you were all worked up and fired up before you came into the building today.
Sure was. Would you like to know why?
I think that's what I was leading to.
So thank you for getting me back on track. I would say to you that here's how I want to do this, Schaefer, because I do think it's important. Anytime we have one of these discussions, and what we're going to get into now is I want to know if you're basically for or against the NFL's policy on unvaccinated outbreaks among teams. Keyword, unvaccinated outbreaks. These rules do not apply in the same way to vaccinated outbreaks, which are still a possibility, as we are all finding out as we learn more and more about this COVID thing, you know, 18 months into the process at this point, unfortunately for us. But I want to know if you're for or against it, because this conversation erupted on social media yesterday, and I shouldn't be surprised. I really shouldn't. This social media is, there are so many poisons to social media, and one of it is taking arguments, taking people's words, condensing them into, what is it now, 260 or 240 characters, whatever the limit for Twitter is, condensing thoughts into, you know, a minimal amount of characters and not allowing people the opportunity to expand with context or nuance. That is what social media has completely removed from the conversation. Enter vaccines in the NFL. God help us. This is what was reported by Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network yesterday. And this is what we got into just briefly, ever so briefly at the end of the show. It broke later in the afternoon, right as we were wrapping things up. But the NFL just informed clubs that if a game cannot be rescheduled during the 18-week season in 2021 due to a COVID outbreak, key word, among unvaccinated players, key phrase, among unvaccinated players, the team with the outbreak will forfeit and be credited with a loss for playoff seeding per sources. Massive implications. Now, this was immediately twisted and torn up all over the internet, no matter what side you're on, because apparently we are in such a place where the only thing that we can agree upon in sports is that Marshawn Lynch should be announcing every draft for the rest of time. This was immediately taken up, just as everything is societally and conversationally, because it has to do with whether people, because this sports is just a microcosm for society, right? It's just the playpen. And sometimes real world events happen in the playpen too. So anytime vaccinations are brought up, it becomes a polarizing topic, rightly or wrongly. Now the NFL has said this and has made it clear that this is among unvaccinated players. Now what Mike Garofolo of the NFL Network, how he advanced the reporting was to say we had, and I'll use a hypothetical, if what happened to the Titans in 2020 in October, where they had the NFL's first outbreak, if what happened in Tennessee happened in 2021, and there was the game that between these two teams, they were not able to move a bye week, but in fact they had to cancel the game because the Titans hypothetically had experienced an outbreak. This at the time, of course, took place when none of us were vaccinated because this was pre-vaccine. If the Titans and the Bills were to have a situation like that today, and the Titans caused the game not to be played because they could not field a competitive roster because an outbreak took place among an unvaccinated player. If they had to forfeit, not only would the Titans not get paid their Paragraph 5 money, Paragraph 5 money being salary, not only would they not make their salary for that game, neither would Buffalo. They're saying, do not affect our bottom line. This is the NFL. They are telling these players, do not affect our bottom line as a private business. The vaccination is, of course, your choice. We are not mandating this legally. We cannot mandate this legally. But what we will do is if you put us at risk by something that is a choice of your own, that you are completely within your rights to make, then we will make your life hell. If you affect our money, we are going to affect yours. That is what the NFL is sending a message to their players, to their coaches, to their staff. If you cause us to miss our money, we're going to hit you where it hurts too. Because that's what they care about as a private business. The NFL is a private business. Just as I'm sure any number of us who are employees, myself included, we all work for a business who maybe, in the case of, you know, college institutions, they are mandating. Vanderbilt, I know, is doing this. I know the University of Virginia. Many other universities across the country are sticking with their principles and saying, yes, if you come to campus, you need to be vaccinated. Private business is a different situation. They are not mandating this, but they are making their lives difficult, and they are putting their finances at risk. If, by choosing not to get vaccinated as a player, that player puts their club at risk, puts the NFL's games at risk, and so too affects the NFL's bottom line. That is what the private business cares about. They do not care about health and safety. If health and safety were a concern, we wouldn't play football, the gladiator sport. But thank God we do, because we need some blood sport in our lives. This is the closest that we can get to the Coliseum. The NFL cares about what costs them money and what makes them money. That is why these rules are being put into place. And you know what the NFLPA said? Because players were pissed about this yesterday. And DeAndre Hopkins, we will get to momentarily, because I said something in response to a deleted tweet by DeAndre Hopkins that got completely taken out of context, but showed the entirety, it showed all of our asses, basically, in how quick we are to pull the trigger on this conversation. The NFL is saying, do not mess with us, or we will mess with you. That's all it is. And people who are saying, who is the NFL to mandate? One, they're not mandating. Who is the NFL to assert this kind of control? They're the player's employer. If they think this is the best thing for their workplace, they are within their rights to assert that kind of control. Now, maybe you don't like to hear that. I understand why. Who likes to be controlled in their lives? We all want to do whatever the hell it is we want to do. And for the most part, we can. Just as we can with vaccines. Just as the players can with vaccines. But there will always be consequences by people who want to maintain this control to make sure that their money isn't affected. We're seeing that in the NFL more than ever before. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045. Let's start with Evan before we get into the DeAndre Hopkins stuff. Evan, good morning. How are you?
What's up, Buck? I'm doing well, man. Hope you're doing the same. Got two questions for you.
Sure.
So, what? I haven't heard any particular language on this, but what exactly is the NFL deeming as an outbreak? Is it going to be one player, two players, three players? And then second off, I haven't heard any indication or anything like that that the coaches might lose their pay too. And to me, that's kind of messed up if that's the case, because there was that report that came out back in June that said there were four assistant NFL coaches who weren't going to get vaccinated. Well, what if they pass it on to one of the unvaccinated players? And that's how everything starts. So wanted to get your thoughts on that, man.
No, and I appreciate the call, Evan. The answer, unfortunately, is we do not yet know what consists, how they deem an outbreak. Now, what we do know is that if the outbreak is such that it causes them to not be able to play the games, I guess, and again, they will probably legally have to clarify this language, and this, the NFL is, as we all are, you know, throughout the course of this thing, they are being reactive as opposed to proactive. Now, this would be considered technically a proactive action because they're telling them in advance, hey, if this happens, you know, a week before everybody reports to training camp, if this happens, these are the rules. But they have not clarified, and I have not seen any language myself, Evan. It's a great question by you. What constitutes an outbreak if there are so many players or so many coaches? Because remember, the Titans had coaches sick last year, too, as a part of this outbreak. It was not just the players. Now, the players are the threshold that they're looking at because they played games, remember, last year with coaches or without coaches who had tested positive. Those coaches just weren't at the game. They were able to go through the week of preparation because of how the Zoom meetings work. But they need the players to play. They don't necessarily need all the coaches.
Well, this is basically the nuclear option. Because countries that have atomic bombs, you use it as a deterrent to be like, hey, don't mess with us because we've got this.
Yeah.
This is what this is. This is meant to be a deterrent as in, okay, this is what's going to happen. Boom, here you go. So that's exactly what this is meant to be.
Oh, spot on. And you know who did this before the NFL? Greg Sankey. And the SEC
did it on Monday.
The Big 12. College football is putting in place the exact same rules. And by the way, we're far more likely to see a college football game get forfeited this year. You know how many, God knows what college students are exposed to, especially with variants, no matter if you're vaccinated or not. You can still contract COVID. That's something that's very, very real. Now, the NFL is saying, okay, if you are one of these cases, if you are vaccinated and you do test positive, we are not holding you to the same standard as those of you who choose to be unvaccinated. That is, again, the NFL's right, whether you agree with it or not. But that is the conversation that exploded on social media yesterday. The players, more loudly than anybody, Matt Judon just ripping the NFLPA, saying they bleeping suck. He speaks for many of them. And many of them are going to go forward with this because they cannot do their jobs otherwise. 615-737-1045. Jerry is in Franklin. He wants to talk about this. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. You know what? I mean, I'm so pissed off at the whole deal. I could care less. I wouldn't buy a Titans T-shirt. I wouldn't go to a game. I think it's time for a boycott. We're out here with all this vaccine stuff, and it's like it's the gold standard is you're not going to get COVID if you take the vaccine. And the bottom line is the NFL can do what they do. When I'm on Cole Beasley, DeAndre Hopkins, I hope these players that aren't bullied into this, it's their health. Does anybody ever look at ever watch anything except the socialist channels? How about the kid in Utah? It was an all-state basketball player that took the vaccine. It's now got a brain aneurysm. It's in the hospital, and his dad's got the lung. So all these people out here, you know, sugarcoating this stuff that, nothing's going to happen.
Hey,
I'm waiting
Jerry,
down the road.
I do appreciate the call, 615-737-1045. What Jerry is saying there, I don't know. I don't have the reporting on it, and so just out of responsibility, Jerry, because I don't know the specific instances that you're talking about yourself, I cannot speak to those, and I don't want it to, you know, I want everybody to know that we're going to have an informed conversation this morning. And listen, there are plenty of people who agree with Jerry. I'm not saying that at all. Plenty of people are tired of being browbeat about vaccines, about COVID, about whether people smarter than them are just talking down to them, or who feel that they are smarter than them are being talked down to. DeAndre Hopkins yesterday deleted his tweet. Cole Beasley is another one of these. And what Cole Beasley, though, Jerry, is doing is irresponsible. There's a difference between DeAndre Hopkins and Cole Beasley. Let me make that very, very clear. Cole Beasley is being wildly irresponsible on social media. And that is, again, that is Cole Beasley's right. That is why social media is largely a poisonous place. DeAndre Hopkins more is in line with what Jerry is saying, where some people do feel bullied about this kind of stuff. That is not advancing the conversation at all. What we do know is that more likely than not, these things are helping to prevent COVID-19 infections. That is a fact that has been proven time and time again. People have developed opinions on this to the contrary. I understand that we have to have an opinion about anything, but sometimes science is not opinion. Cole Beasley and DeAndre Hopkins are having different conversations on social media. Cole Beasley is basically saying, you know what, if I die, I die, which is completely irresponsible. DeAndre Hopkins is simply threatening, by the way, a completely empty threat. DeAndre Hopkins said one of the dumbest things on the internet yesterday, and this is not me straying away from Jerry's theme of people being bullied, because I do think that you can have layers to these conversations. This is the point that we're missing with all of this. People are so quick to gravitate to one side or another without considering both sides of the conversations and working through it piece by piece. You can disagree. You can disagree on certain aspects of each other's arguments and still find common ground. For some reason, we have completely ignored common ground. That is not something that we are going to do today. We are going to have this conversation in as many different ways as we can, because that is the thing that is causing all of the tension. That is the thing that is making people crazy and hateful and spiteful towards one another. Shafe, the stuff that people were saying in my mentions yesterday, when I responded to DeAndre Hopkins, not talking about him needing to get vaccinated, not talking about anything but get the hell out of here with your empty threats to retire from football and being dramatic about something you clearly have no intention of doing. Me saying that I'm tired, that I'm, and so many people in this same conversation are tired of people making empty threats and stupid comments and having no effort on their own part to find out the information themselves, other than deciding that this is my position, this is where I'm going to stick, be damned if you tell me otherwise. I'm sick of this crap. I got to make sure that I keep the dump button close today. Shafe, you too.
Oh, it's right there.
Quick on the trigger.
Already got a finger on it.
But what I'm saying to you is there are so many people just screaming at one another about this in ways that completely ignore what is actually being ignored by the people making these dramatic statements. DeAndre Hopkins deleted his tweet yesterday, then went out back on social media and said, freedom. Okay, fine. Nobody is taking away your freedom. What I'm pissed at DeAndre Hopkins about is that he's playing this victim game. Aren't the professional athletes supposed to be anti-victim? Aren't they supposed to practice mental toughness? And this is not just of professional athletes. DeAndre Hopkins is unfortunately today going to be the subject of a lot of these conversations because he has the biggest platform, he has the biggest voice, he has the biggest reach. Shouldn't there be a degree of responsibility associated with that? Don't make these empty threats. Don't make me feel sorry for you because you are one of these highly paid, highly compensated professional athletes. And I am pro athlete to a fault, by the way. I think these guys deserve so much more of a piece of the pie than they actually get for as big as America's most popular sport is. But don't tell me that you're considering your future career with the NFL because somebody is telling you this is what we are going to do with our private business that is not mandating anything of you. We're just telling you what the rules are if you want to continue to work here. And if you don't want to continue to work here anymore, that's fine. But don't cry to me on Twitter. You know, there are so many people who have so little sympathy for that kind of argument today. So many people who have been through so much over the course of this. And again, somebody like Jeff Schwartz, who I know is a regular on J. Martin Ramon, and I know Titans fans hate the holy hell out of him. I understand that too. He trolls you guys a lot. But what Jeff Schwartz said in response to this yesterday was so spot on, because Jalen Ramsey and DeAndre Hopkins are going back and forth on social media about this. Jeff Schwartz, if DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey or anybody who have the kind of access to these things that DeAndre Hopkins and Jalen Ramsey and NFL players do, with the platforms, with the ability to influence people, if they have expressed concerns, as Jeff Schwartz points out, the Cardinals, whom DeAndre Hopkins plays for, have multiple team doctors, an internal medicine doctor. They could point any player, to a specialist to discuss the vaccine if there are concerns, which are completely normal. There are plenty of people who are justified in being concerned about potential effects of vaccines. I totally sympathize with that. It is completely normal to be curious, to want to know more, to want to receive all of the information. The problem is if you have this information at your disposal and you speak ignorantly because you're just too lazy to seek it out, and it's easier to press send. There are so many people. If DeAndre Hopkins could jump on a phone or a Zoom with a specialist who dedicates their life to this kind of work to inform himself more and to address these concerns, to make an informed decision, of course nobody would be pissed at him today. I would not be pissed at him today. But instead, it's just the ability to press send on a tweet and whine about it on social media. Now, I've made a career out of whining on social media, so perhaps this is a completely hypocritical point. But this kind of thing frustrates me. Don't whine about it. Do something about it. If you want to be informed, be more informed. You have that at your disposal. 615-737-1045. People have loaded the lines. We're going to continue this discussion. I hope that you are willing to have it with us because we're going to have a lot of fun over the course of the day, and I think we're going to have a great show. What do you think? We'll get into it coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Mac, things will get a little lighter, I promise. But I had to get that off my chest. I thought I worked a lot of the aggression out last night on A to Z Sports Primetime, Sunday to Thursday night at 8 p.m. Because this was, of course, the breaking news of the day. We talked about it. And that is a hell of a lot more toxic environment because it's just people on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook and Twitch, you know, reacting to stuff with me in live time, and that gets wild. But we've been talking a lot about the NFL's policy on forfeiting due to unvaccinated outbreaks among players, and people have been opinionated on it. I expressed my beliefs, my opinions. We are willing to have an open and honest conversation with you here today, and we will continue to do so over the course of the next 2 hours. What I would say to you, though, is we're also going to have a conversation. I saw an article today ranking the Saints and the Titans as the two most overrated teams heading into the NFL, and I want to have a conversation about that. Ryan McGee of the SEC Network is going to join us later in the 11 o'clock hour to talk about Texas and Oklahoma, basically pulling a coup d'etat of their own and heading to the Conference of Champions, the SEC. And Coach Mack will have a lot of fun with us in the noon hour, as is our Friday custom. But I want to get to your calls first and foremost. 615-737-1045. Andy is in Berry Hill. He wants to talk about our topic with the NFL vaccinations and forfeiting. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Buck. Good afternoon. You took a lot of my juice away, thankfully, because sorry. I was probably going to be screaming yelling like you just did. It's okay.
It happens.
But the idea that Hopkins would pull that, I'm embarrassed for him, thinking clown shoes all the way around, him and Cole Beasley with the nonsense, I didn't get it because the vaccine, rather, simply because I was scared of it. Because I didn't know enough, so I educated myself on it. If you make the money that DeAndre Hopkins made and you can't find a way to get in touch with someone, and even an epidemiologist, someone that can tell you whether you are going to get ill from the vaccine or not, but you're affecting your team the way that it is. Never heard more selfish opinions from people that are supposed to be team-based in my life.
Oh, no, it's spot on.
The last caller is the one that really set me off. When you listen to the socialists, look, just stop with all that crap. Stop putting an international worldwide pandemic in a category of red and blue. I thought we got rid of those guys on sports channels over at 104.5 because I don't want to hear them any more than you want to hear them or any more than you want to talk about them. Take care of yourselves. Take care of human beings around you and take care of your families and do the right thing. And stop popping off just because you're a millionaire on social media and you got followers. I'm done with it. Thanks, Buck.
Rack 'em, Andy, with some passion. 615-737-1045. Listen, that's what it comes down. That's what it comes down to. And I'm the wrong person to preach about, you know, selfish behavior, right? I think a lot of times I prove that I have selfish tendencies, and a lot of people do. But to the caller's point. You know, when Jerry called in earlier and people are tweeting me, telling me to bury Jerry and you guys are calling in, telling me to bury Jerry for the way that he's popped off about his opinions. I don't think we help anybody that way. That's ultimately what I'm just trying. who am I helping, right? I'm a sports talk radio host. What? This is the silliest of all the professions. I am wildly overcompensated for a job that is completely and totally ridiculous. And I'm the wrong person to talk about telling people who is and is not selfish. I am not the person to be the judge and jury on that. But that is such a great point by the caller to say that people who preach team mentality, people who have these things at their disposal, people who have more resources than, you know, the vast majority of us. I don't fault the people who don't have the resources at their disposal. I fault people like DeAndre Hopkins who do and willfully choose to ignore it and just make the statements that they want to make on social media. That's what drives me crazy. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. We got Combos up next, who wants to talk about the NFL's policy on vaccines and forfeiting. What's up, Combo?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know, again, like everybody that I think we all agree with, they've been reiterating, you know, it's kind of a team thing at this point. And when you're an NFL player and you have all that money, and to be quite honest, you know, you have a lot of downtime. I know how you say some people can't find the information, but if I'm honest, anybody can find the information. We have nothing but walking, like, examples of what's going on with the vaccine all over this country and all over the world right now. And the fact that it's so easy to get vaccinated in this country and you can't in others, I mean, it's really disappointing. Like, it makes me think back to I joined the military in 2009, and I don't want any credit for that because it's a freaking job. This isn't who's the bigger victim. But at the same time, I had to stand in line, and we all got poked by all kinds of crap. And I you know, you complain about it, you can do whatever. I'm trying not to get, you know, too verbally crazy with it. But
do your thing, buddy. You got it.
It is what it is, you know? Like, if you want to play NFL and you want to try and win the Super Bowl this year, you got to do what you got to do. And even if you do that, there's still not a guarantee. So I really don't understand any of this. I'm trying to calm down too, just like the last caller. But I appreciate it, man.
Hey,
good luck.
Thanks for the call. Good luck, he says. 615-737-1045. Man, no, I love days like today. I really do. I think this is such a great opportunity because this is a conversational show, right? I love the ability to hear your guys' opinions on these things and to have these conversations together and to find and to see if we can't find, you know, this is not, even if this show just seems like me bitching a lot about a lot of things in sports that drive me crazy, sometimes it is that. But sometimes there's also the ability to hear different perspectives, to hear different voices on these conversations, on these same topics that we want to have. These are my favorite kind of day. So good luck. Listen, I appreciate that because sometimes the world of sports talk radio can devolve quite quickly. But no, these are my favorite kind of days. These are the days where we have the best kind of conversations. That's why I'm happy to have the kind of audience that we do, because you guys are smart, man. You guys are so smart, and you guys are so willing to have these conversations with us, which is why I love you. We're going to continue that coming up next. The lines are loaded. They're going to be popping off basically until Ryan McGee gets here in the 11 o'clock hour. We welcome your discussion. Let's see who's going to lead us off on the other side. It's going to be Ricky in West End, and we'll get to all of you as well who are waiting patiently. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone.